The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Thousands, literally thousands of people descended on the capital city in the last little while to welcome home Team Ireland. And Josh Crosby, our reporter, was in amongst them. What a day for it, Josh.
Oh, what a way to kick off the week, Kieran. It sure was. Positivity, pride, just all around the streets of Dublin today, Kieran. It was like a festival was on. They estimate the crowds were over 20,000. People came from near and far. There were fans from Donegal, Mayo. I spoke to one woman from Mexico. She lives here now, but she was donning an Irish jersey. So really, it was a great day, I suppose, to honour our most talented athletes. The most successful year at the Olympics brought home the crowds. They brought home 7 medals and they all had their moment to see, I suppose, how much of an impact it's had on the country. The Taoiseach Simon Harris welcomed them to O'Connell Street. He was saying there was very little work done here the past couple of weeks. As you say, everyone was glued to the TV. The Olympians took to the stage just after 1:30, but the crowds have been gathering there since before 12. I got a few minutes with Skibbereen's Fintan McCarthy before he took to the stage, just to, with his goal, to ask him what it was like taking part in the closing ceremony last night.
Great, yeah, you know, new experience, huge atmosphere there, and obviously being flag bearer was, you know, a huge honour. I didn't expect it, it was a kind of a late one. Daniel was a bit unwell, so I got the call up, so I was delighted with that. But
have you been celebrating since you first came back to Ireland last week?
Yeah, as you might be able to tell, my voice is a bit gone, it's hanging on its last legs, but we had a good few nights over there. We came back then, Paul went off to work, I kind of just recuperated and slept for a day or two.
And your unique spin home, that's been taking the news by storm.
Yeah, it's been crazy. We just, I don't know how it happened, we just didn't really have anything organised, we didn't tell anyone what we were doing. And then, thankfully, Kieran, the guy who gave us a spin, he was next to us on the plane home, he just asked us if we wanted a spin. And, like, of course we said yes. So that was...
How does it feel, though, to be standing here today with a medal around your neck representing your country?
Oh, good. Yeah, no, it's... I wouldn't say it's what we work for, but, like, you know, it's a really special bonus just to see how happy it's made everyone here. You know, I think this is the first glimpse we've got of everyone's reaction at home, so hopefully there'll be more to come.
And how will you spend the rest of your few days now? How will you celebrate, or is it back to the training again fairly soon?
No, not for me. I think I'm going to sleep for a solid 3 days. I've had maybe like 6 or 7 hours over the last few days, like, combined, so I need to catch up on that. And then,
and when you passed that finishing line, what was the first thing you wanted to do? What was the very first thing that you said?
Oh, just wanted to go and see the family and stuff. You know, we've been away on camp and obviously away racing, you can't really, you know, don't want to risk going out and meeting too many people. So I just wanted to kind of spot them in the crowd and go over and say hi.
And I've been meeting families from across the country here today. What would you say to any young aspiring rowers out there today?
Oh, I'd say keep at it. Yeah, stay on it. It doesn't happen overnight, but if you just keep going, then who knows, you might get one of these.
All right, Fintan McCarthy there, who of course won a gold medal in the rowing boat with Paul O'Donovan. What about the fans that were there, Josh?
Oh, look, they were in such good form. There were people up on the roofs of the buildings. They were leaning out the windows, looking down on O'Connell Street. The hat, scarves and headband sellers, they certainly had a busy day today. The weather obviously brought out a sense of excitement as well. But Kieran, covering the Olympics from Kelly Harrington's win in Portland Row to Rashid Adelecki's home club in Tallaght, the consistent feeling you take away from it, when I'm there anyway, is this coverage, the inspiration it gives to people, and especially children who are starting out in sport. But then also people, it might not necessarily be taking inspiration for sport, but just seeing the efforts of the athletes, it kind of feeds into their everyday lives. Let's take a listen now to some of those who travelled. First up is Mark from Mayo.
So it's kind of once in a lifetime thing in May as well, while you can, and it was great to watch them all over the summer and great to see them there today.
So if Mayo's not winning matches, Ireland was winning medals.
Oh yeah, well, we have to have something to cheer about, and we're used to disappointment, so to see something like that was pretty good.
Do you drive back to Mayo now with a sense of pride?
Oh yeah, 100%, and I can tell people we were there.
Why did you come along here today?
Because to see the Ireland team, and I watched a lot of stuff on the telly and I liked it.
What was it that stood out to you the most? What did you really find impressive?
Swimming.
Swimming, and do you swim yourself?
Yeah.
So when you watch Mona McSherry and them, it kind of makes you want to train harder and maybe be an Olympian someday?
Yeah. I'm Sonny and I've come here because I want to see my Olympic heroes. And
Who are your heroes?
Kelly Arrington and Danny Whiffen.
Okay, and do you do boxing or swimming?
No, I just love their sport. So
and you're decked out now, you have your jersey on, flying the flag.
Yeah.
What was your special moment in the Olympics?
Probably when Kelly got her gold medal. We were really happy for her.
And would it ever make you think of doing boxing?
Maybe.
Team Ireland, like I said, they were so great looking at them in the Olympics.
Sports has been great for the last few weeks and everything was great.
What stood out to you the most, if you had to pick one moment?
I don't know, Kelly, I suppose, and then plus the two lads from Cork. They were brilliant and so cool.
The swimming.
And do you swim yourself?
A small bit, yeah.
When you see someone reach the world stage like that, what do you think it does for people your age, maybe who are swimming? Or
kind of like inspires you to maybe do more and then you could be like them as well when you're older?
It would have to be Reese.
Yeah. Do you do gymnastics yourself?
No, but I really liked watching him.
But after seeing him now, is it something you might like to do?
Yes.
And you have your face paint on now, you're waving them all on, cheering them on. What were you shouting at home when you were looking at Reese on the screen?
I just kept saying, go on, Ireland!
All right, go on, Ireland. So says that one fan anyway. Lots of fans getting in touch. My Olympic highlight was the synchronised swimming. It was the turbo-boosted river dance, except it took place in actual water. If we got some Irish dancers that are good swimmers, we'd clean up at the event. Build more pools now, they say. Somebody else to do with the aquatic events. My highlight, watching Mona McSharry win bronze. I'm from Ballyshannon, and knowing that a swimming club in our small town in the Forgotten County contributed to her journey was amazing. I tell you what's amazing. The ability of people from Donegal to claim Sligo's Mona McSharry. And Andrea Gilligan, top of the list. I mean, she's plastering Donegal flags in every picture she can find. Josh, what did the athletes themselves have to say today?
Sure, look, I suppose this is their moment to relax, but also celebrate. A lot of them spoke to the crowds up on stage about their experiences and what it means for them. I thought a lovely touch by Kelly Harrington was to invite the boxing coaches up on stage. I don't think this was planned by the organisers, so they also got their moment, a well-deserved time to see the love from the fans and what their efforts have done in terms of giving the country a lift, like the texts we're getting in there now. We'll hear from Daniel Whiffen, who's become the first Irish man to win an Olympic medal in swimming. And we'll also hear from Tipperary's Charlene Maudsley, who is, of course, one of Ireland's best runners. Daniel was meant to be the flag bearer in the closing ceremony last night, but he fell unwell. And we heard Fintan McCarthy there a few minutes ago that he stepped in. Let's hear from both of these amazing athletes now.
So good. I'm so happy to be home, man. It's like a breath of fresh air coming back here, celebrating with everybody, and it means so much, honestly. Like I think everybody does the sport to try and inspire somebody, and to hear that so many people start to swim and go to swimming clubs and learn how to swim, it just seems like it's a real big impact we've had on the whole of Ireland. Still a bit ill currently, but I am getting over it, and I'm sure in the next couple of days I'll start to feel better. But yeah, the scent kind of took me out.
It was really nice just kind of taking it all in. Obviously, there was a lot of disappointment just after the race, which was a bit bittersweet. But like today now, once we came home, we came fourth at the Olympic Games. It's the pinnacle of our sport. So we're honestly over the moon. And yeah, it's starting to feel a little bit better than it did at the start. Once I figured that I had ran my fastest time ever, I couldn't have asked for much more. You know, from myself, so yeah, no, I am proud. Like, it is kind of natural to, you know, be upset and disappointed, but that shows that I really care and love the sport so much. But yeah, it's given me a bit of encouragement to go for LA 2028. It'll be so exciting, so I'll definitely keep going for another few years.
All right, Josh, what is next for Charlene and Daniel and the rest of the athletes in terms of celebrations?
Well, I suppose, look, the night is certainly still young, or should I say the week. Each Olympian will obviously have their own plans at home. But tonight here in Dublin, there are further celebrations planned in the North Inner City for boxer Kelly Harrington. From 7 o'clock, she'll make her way down Sean McDermott Street from Diamond Park towards the Five Lamps, along with the Dublin Fire Brigade Pipe Band, and she'll take to the stage at Killarney Street. So that'll go on into the night, I imagine. There'll be road closures in place for that. And there are still diversions if anyone's heading into the city around O'Connell Street following this afternoon's event. Lewis services around there have been suspended until 10 o'clock. But yeah, I suppose, Kieran, look, after weeks of non-stop live action, it's back to the standard TV schedule. But if anyone wants to take a glimpse of what the atmosphere was like today, they can check it all out on our News Talk social channels. Well, I was down there today, I spotted a woman who was wearing a Paris 2024 hat. So, I don't know, did you pick one up last Friday? Or?
I was too busy working, Josh. You know what they're like in this place.
But anyway, I spotted her, and then I also got a woman who is back in Ireland for the first time in 18 years. This is Fionnuala, who's just back from Paris.
I'm here because I was at the Olympics in Paris and they were fantastic. I was at the rowing in particular, And yeah, they're great. So it's good that they get a good welcome home back.
And what was it that you said, look, I need to be in Paris?
Oh, we decided we'd do it. Myself and my cousin decided we'd do it almost 2 years ago. So we did all the planning well in advance. But we actually got the tickets to the rowing at the last minute. So it was brilliant. Brilliant atmosphere in Paris. Wonderful.
What moment from it was a real standout? What was a special moment where you said you were proud to be Irish today?
You know, the rowing was brilliant because we got medals there. But just the whole event, everything about the Olympics was great. You know, it was just really well organised. Paris looked fantastic. Loads of people milling around, everybody in good mood. Like it was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You know, it was great.
So there was no sport or person you were going for in particular? It was generally Team Ireland?
Oh, yeah. But I mean, it's Team Ireland, but also the Olympics.
And what do you think, looking around here now, like crowds, sea of people, what does it do for the country?
Look, do you know, it's the usual, we need to invest in sport and that it's, you know, it'll have great payback for us from a health point of view, you know.
Well, I'm Evelyn Pistolaridis, previously Evelyn McGettigan, visiting from Chicago after 18 years, back home to Donegal. Big fan of Katie Harrington, so we came up here today to see her come back and hold up the gold medal.
This isn't your first time home in 18 years.
It is.
Your first time home?
First time home in 18 years.
What a time to be back.
I know. I used to live out here in Rathfarnham and Rathmines. Then I moved to Chicago and I wasn't able to come home for 18 years.
You haven't lost the Donegal accent
yet? So a lot of celebrating going on both for me and for Team Ireland.
So what do you think that it does for people who are living abroad, though, the diaspora, to see?
I mean, it just brings everybody together and, you know, everybody just gets out and supports the team. And no matter what sport it is in, you know, everyone's just out coming together and supporting them. It's great to see.
Well, you'll have plenty of celebrations to do now over the holiday.
We will. We'll be celebrating for me and for them.
Oh, it's great to hear the atmosphere. Great to hear that kind of atmosphere of celebration and joy that so many of us experienced over the last couple of weeks continuing today. Long may it continue. Josh Crosby, thank you very, very much for that. Sinead O'Carroll was, of course, immersed in all things Olympics. She's the editor of thejournal.ie. And she has been in Paris for the last couple of weeks, along with her colleague, Gavin Cooney. You might have been listening to their podcast, Olympics Daily. Sinead, thanks a million for coming in to us. I'm kind of astounded you're working today, given the last couple of weeks. But what was it like being there, reporting on it for so long?
It was amazing. And I think most journalists will say it definitely was the best organised of the last while. Sean McGoldrick from the Sunday World has done 10 of them and he really loved being in Paris. So I think that's probably the highest praise you can give it. I was at Rio and so this was different. It's also different when it's on the same time zone. So you know people back home are really into it and you're covering it and you're bringing them the news from there that they're really into anyway. So that's kind of cool. We were a lot more optimistic than a group of journalists would usually be on a trip.
It's funny, the time zone thing, I keep making this point, and it makes such a difference. Mm. Like 1.7 million people watched Kelly Harrington's fight on RT or on The Player combined. Would 10% of people have gotten up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch that?
Yeah.
You know, we all would have watched it back, but how many of us would have kind of enjoyed the communal experience live? Very few.
And then Paris just nailed it as well in terms of the fans, like French fans are just brilliant, but that's brilliant to watch as well. Like, so it's when Leon Marchand is in the La Défense Arena, which is an amazing arena, like Racing 92's home changed into a swimming arena. Leon Marchand is just taking the sport to a whole new level. And then the fans are just absolutely brilliant. And I think that translates on the TV screens at home as well. And then you have arenas where you can see the Eiffel Tower, you have arenas that are in the middle of exhibition halls like Le Grand Palais. They just nailed how to do the Olympics in their city without ruining the vibe of their city. They really made it central to the whole thing, which was deadly.
And part of that was turning kind of difficulty into opportunity. You know, that there's just massive cost, and there has been, and it's always a big story around an Olympic Games in terms of building these huge stadia. One wonders whether we're going to see kind of Paris replicated in the future. Like cities looking at it going, you know what, we need to just use the city as the backdrop.
They absolutely should. This should be the blueprint now. There should be no more white elephants. Like most cities, London tried to do it and didn't quite get there. They have a few places that, yes, they're being used, but they're not quite white elephants, but they're not quite being used by the communities like they should be. Like places like Montreal were destroyed economically. So I think this is the blueprint. Use what you have, figure out how to do things sustainably. Like the Racing 92 arena that was changed into the swimming pool, that swimming pool will be dismantled and be able to be used again. So it just added to it all.
Yeah.
Like, so, and taking cultural spaces like Grand Palais and turning it into a sporting venue. And then the athletes loved it as well. Like Jack Woolley, after the Taekwondo, his day out, he was just blown away. He was like, I'll never perform somewhere like this again. And, you know, just being able to put tens of thousands of seats in these places. And there was Parisians who left Paris and then came back. They were like, uh-oh, we're missing out. We miscalculated how positive an experience this will be. Let's try and get tickets and get to something. So I'm not one of the Parisians who like left and never got to see the Olympics in their city.
Yeah, it'd be criminal if there's not beach volleyball on Venice Beach or there's not images of people diving off the 10-metre platform with the Hollywood sign in the background. Yeah. It would be criminal if it doesn't happen. And I guess in LA, they're almost guaranteed weather there. So they like all of this should be outdoors.
Yeah, and they will want to kind of one-up Paris as well. Yeah. Like I heard one of the organisers of LA being like, you know, we're the cultural centre of America. And I was like, are you?
Really?
Ah, okay, you have a point to prove there, I think. LA would be a bit different, I think, because it's such a vast place as well. But I think they do have a high bar to hit now, and that competitive American spirit will have to kick in for sure.
From a sporting point of view, what were your highlights?
It's really hard to rate or grade Irish medals or Irish gold medals, that we've so many of them by so many different people. But for me, Rhys McClenaghan, the way he did it and the story of his career, I don't think there's a bigger highlight than being in the arena for that 45 seconds. Like, I was sitting beside journalists like who have been through everything over 20, 30 years, and they were sweaty palmed and so nervous for this young lad to achieve his dream. And the fact that Tokyo had happened, everyone knew that just one tiny little finger out of place and he's done. And they also knew he was the marked man because he had won two world championships. They knew everyone around him had improved because he had been pushing them. So for him to do it, and then for him to have that reaction, that absolute flood of relief coming out of him, that genuine, honest emotion, and then to talk to him afterwards, that was absolutely the highlight for me. Yeah. To see him with the gold medal around his neck, and he thinks so clearly and he talks with such clarity and honesty that it's great to be able to report that back as well. Like, he just answers every question you ask him so honestly. And we were asking him some technical questions as well, so he does this really brilliantly where he talks to you because you're an idiot and you don't know about gymnastics, but he does it in such a nice, charismatic way that you don't
you don't feel patronized.
Yeah.
Even like, though he's totally patronizing you.
Yeah. He's like, that move I did at the end that like kind of got me the gold medal, it's called the Roth, from Bill Roth, who was a gymnast in the USA in the 1960s. And you're like, thanks, Rhys.
Yeah. No, it is almost impossible. But isn't Rhys though an interesting kind of story when you look at, say, the likes of Rashida and others? And there's almost like people were hanging a gold medal around her neck kind of before the race had even been run, some people, or certainly a medal. And now when she got so close, to say, oh, well, listen, you know, LA is in 4 years and it's going to happen. I mean, like, that's the nature of the industry. It doesn't always happen. And it did for Rhys, which is why it's amazing. But it's amazing. It's like that on Rodosana Vazintok. It's amazing because it's rare. It's just because you had disappointment doesn't mean you're going to turn it around in 4 years.
No, like, but there's that swimmer from the UK who's been fourth in three different Olympics. You know, and Rashida looked like that. She was like fourth again. And that was even before the fourth in the relay, because she was fourth in the World Championships last year. So, you know, Sydney McLaughlin-Levrone is, you know, outrunning 400 metre flat relays. Femke Bol is doing the same. Like, the 400 metre could get more stacked. Rashida's ceiling is really high, so all going well, she will get world medals, and it's good that she's thinking in world medals rather than just Olympic cycles, which you just can never tell between injury and form and the field around you. But yeah, it is, I think, a little bit, it's not really helpful for her, because she's like, well, I was ready to do it now. I wanted to do it now. I didn't want to do it in 4 years. I want to do it now. And Rhys was the same, but he knew that he'd have to take that experience and build on it and come back. But that's, I think, why everyone was so nervous for him, because that's not a guarantee. Even though he was the best in the world last year, it's not a guarantee that it'll go your way again this year. So that's what I think, why it was the moment of the games for me, and why Rashida probably can take something from it.
What is, so like, I mean, if the legacy from a kind of an Olympic point of view is how to stage it and how to use the city and backdrops and what you already have, what's the legacy or the lessons from an Irish point of view?
I think from an Irish point of view is when we put the structures in place and we get the funding model right and we have success and we build on that success, medals beget medals. So like you see that in the rowing, you know, it's 8 years since Paul O'Donovan's first rowing medal. I know he's kind of the freak who's the like kind of the link between the medals over the last three cycles. But there's more and more rowers coming up, men, women, and in all the different categories. I think it's getting those structures right. They're going to have to really, you know, the announcement of 500 million, it's going to have to be so targeted that it helps build grassroots and numbers and competition, and then make the success by supporting the elite athletes early enough. There's no point in supporting elite athletes when they're already getting top tens. you need to support them beforehand. So at the moment, what the kind of support is 18,000, and then moves up to 25,000 if you prove you're world class, and then up to 40,000 if you're already kind of at podium level. But we need to support those people to get there. You know, the likes of Sophie Becker, like a 50-90 split off the blocks in a 400 meter Olympic final. Like, we should be supporting that earlier, so that could have been a 50 flat, you know, if she's given that support a bit earlier. So I think it's getting that stuff down.
Yeah, it's funny because I was talking to Philip Doyle and Afra Kyo about this, and they're, I guess, you know, and this is my interpretation if they're listening, that they're a little reluctant to be criticising kind of the Sports Council or any of the granting, because, you know, they've been lucky enough to be at the higher level of it. But kind of between the lines, they acknowledge that reality that, yes, you know, it's the little boost to get into the top tier, maybe it's where it's needed. And, you know, recognising that when somebody maybe fails at a major championship, that it's not the time to cut the funding. Yeah. That actually that's the exact time that they need to be able to rely on it. You know, and that the fear that maybe administrators have that you end up kind of funding people to coast along just below the elite level. I mean, it's hardly beyond the wit of man to be able to manage that.
Yeah, there has to be some algorithm out there possible that it doesn't mean you have to come fourth to, you know, be able to be given podium level funding.
Mm.
You have to fund the potential to get there. So, you know, people like Rashida will have gone to university and will have been able to use that system, but not everyone can use the American university system. And the American university system might not stay open to everybody. You know, there's already people in America criticizing the fact that we've used that all the other countries are using the American university system. And they're like, well, this is why we're not doing as well in swimming anymore, because they only had the one gold medal in the pool.
Even the athletics. I mean, you look at Rashida's training group, and it's Dean Asher-Smith and it's Julian Alfred as well.
Like,
and I know Dean Asher-Smith didn't have the Olympics she wanted, but Alfred certainly did.
Yeah, and obviously America had an amazing track and field meet. But, you know, you can't outsource your structures and your needs in athletics or any other sport to other countries. So we have to do some of it ourselves. It's great that we'll have the velodrome, but imagine how good we could have been in cycling if we had one already.
Yeah.
Like Lara Gillespie doing that by going training in Mallorca, you know, and she's coming in the top 10. Like, that's an amazing feat.
But even the low-hanging fruit as well, Sinead. I mean, yes, it'll be amazing to have a kind of a velodrome in Abbottstown for our elite athletes. But there's a kind of a concrete velodrome on Sundrive, and it's the only one kind of in the 26 counties. Like, it's kind of concrete at the end of the day. Like, how much would it cost local authorities to be installing these around the country? Even, yes, they might not look to be kind of international standard, but they're enough to get a bit of a talent ID system up and going. You'd be like, look at your man flying around that velodrome down the park.
Yeah, and even just things like tracks. I know there has been a lot more tracks put in place, but
one in Cork for the size of Cork, as Rob Heffernan loves to say.
Yeah, and Kate O'Connor was saying this, as that, like, we had our first ever heptathlete, and she was saying there should be just way more access to kids to field sports as well, because if you're not fast, then you do feel kind of, well, track and field's not for me. And she's like, well, you might not be fast, but you might be really good at throwing a shot put or a javelin, or you might be really good at a long jump or a triple jump. So it's kind of more access to, and again, they're sand pits. You don't have to build, they're not massive concrete structures that need to be built, or we don't need 50 metre pools in every county. But we just need more access for more kids, for more of that ID, that talent ID, so that there is kind of a lot.